Welcome to the Captain Paul Watson Foundation podcast. I'm your host, Charlie, and today I'm joined with Captain Watson. Paul, how are you doing today?
Oh, good. Thank you.
Wonderful. So today we're going to talk about Lolita, who's down at the Miami Sea Aquarium and has been there for many, many years. Paul, I guess, where do you stand on all this? There's been news announced that some folks are going to try to get together and have her released. Are you optimistic about it, or what do you think?
Well, I'm highly skeptical about it. This is being come about because Eduardo Albo bought Miami Sea Aquarium in 2021. And then in 2022, the U.S. government said that Lolita could no longer perform. So what that meant was that he now had an orca that he couldn't, exploit financially. So, but he was stuck with the bills for medical care and for food. So it certainly became in his interest to try and unload this whale somehow. And because of all of the regulations of Marine Mammal Protection Act, Endangered Species Act, that's become a difficult thing. So I think that what they're trying to do here is to profit from it because, it's going to be 24 months before they can do anything, if they can do anything. And in the meantime, they're going to be raising money and such. And if the whale dies while this is happening, then they'll be perceived as heroes trying to release them. So I don't know. I just find it very skeptical that of a man who owns 21 dolphin prisons around the world, that he's really has a sincere interest or a compassionate interest in trying to release Lolita. But anyway, there's a lot of hurdles and obstacles that would have to be overcome. Permits from National Marine Fisheries, permits from NOAA and various, state permits in Washington, Florida. It's really a bureaucratic nightmare. So if they can do it, that's fine. But I'd be very, very surprised if it's successful. They're talking about $20 million for this. But really concerns me there is that $20 million that go a long way towards helping to stop the diminishment of the orca populations in Puget Sound, where Lolita is from. And it just seems to me that there's a lot of focus on one orca, while at the same time it's distracting from the real situation in Puget Sound and what's happening to wild orcas in the wild, the diminishment of fish, pollution, all these kind of things. So do we save one orca and lose them all?
Yeah. Well, and from what I've read, I guess the recent count was there was about 73 southern resident orcas currently in the San Juan. And I guess, this dates back all the way because she was captured back in 1970, if I'm correct, and she was part of the L-Pod. I think her mother was L-25. And ever since she was captured, there's just been this demise of the southern residents. And, let me mention this. I mean, you wrote Orcapedia, and in Orcapedia, you talk about her capture. You've documented the capture of many other orcas. And, you mentioned that when she was captured, she was 4 years old. And there were seven orcas that were chosen to be sold to marine parks. And Lolita is the only orca that's still alive from those seven. And I guess during the capture, there were three babies that died in the net that they used. And then they filled their carcasses with rocks to try to sink them so that people wouldn't see it. I mean, this has been going on a long time. Is there hope for the southern residents? I mean, they are considered, I think they're on the endangered species list now. Is there hope for them?
I think there would be hope, if there was a concerted effort on the part of the governments and people who care to actually, invest funds into protecting the southern resident orca population. That's where I think the $20 million that they want to spend on Lolita would be better spent. But also look at it this way. Orcas have a similar lifespan to humans. If we took a four-year-old from his family and then, 55 years later said, okay, go back to this area where your family used to be and see how you do. I mean, that would be an incredibly traumatizing, psychologically damaging experience. And so I don't think people are taking that into account. What I would prefer that they would do with Lolita is make a big giant pool, one that she can have spend the rest of her days in, without having to be stifled in that small pool that she's in. And I think that would be the most humane thing to do. But there's a lot of emotions tied up in this, and people want to see Lolita freed, and I understand that. But it's going to take a long time. It's going to take an awful lot of money, and we're not really sure that's going to work. And will we be doing more damage to her doing this relocation than finding another way to give her comfort?
Yeah. And from my understanding too, is that the tank she's in, which is about 80 feet wide, it's 80 feet by 35 feet. And at its deepest point in the middle, I think it's 20 feet deep. It's the smallest tank in North America used for an orca. So she's truly swimming in a prison right now.
Yeah, I mean, they could build a much, much bigger tank nearby, so it wouldn't be so traumatizing to move her. And it wouldn't take that long to build it as it's going to take before they even get off the ground to try and do a relocation. So, I mean, she could be moved to SeaWorld too, but I think any move is going to be very risky at this point.
Yeah. Well, and as far as orca whale rehabilitation goes, I mean, are those successful? Is there a track record of success in rehabilitating orcas that have been in captivity to go back to the wild?
Well, Keiko was returned to the wild, and some people think it was a failure. I happen to think it was a success. I mean, Keiko lived for 5 years in the wild, and that's incredible. Keiko died of pneumonia, and that apparently was caused by a virus that was encountered while in captivity. It had nothing to do with being in the wild. But even so, 5 years of freedom was a good thing.
Yeah.
And I would dearly, dearly love to see Lolita have that same experience. But Lolita is a much older whale, less healthy than Keiko. And I think it's a far more risky thing to do. And we simply don't have a lot of time.
Right. And so the 2-year estimate for them to move Lolita, if they push forward with that, is that just based on bureaucracy and permits and such? I mean, there's no reason they, couldn't put her on a plane tomorrow, and I guess there's not a C pen for her.
No, there's no sea pen. Nobody's even applied for any of these permits yet.
Okay.
And I can tell you right now, it's going to take a long time because they're going to have public, the public has to get involved. So they're going to have open meetings to invite the public to. And here's the danger is that the bureaucrats, with the government who issue these permits, they don't want to be caught in a situation where Lolita dies while this is happening, because that's going to reflect on them. Like, why did you issue the permits? That kind of thing. So there's going to be a lot of hesitation. So I'm not sure if they're even going to get the permits. But if they do, it's going to be a long process.
Yeah, and meanwhile, she's still going to suffer in this small tank, probably receiving minimal care because, to your point, she's not a business asset for their organization to make profits from by selling tickets to watch her swim around because they can't do that anymore. So it does kind of seem like maybe they're motivated by unloading this asset and trying to gain some good publicity in the process.
Well, I'm 100%. I'm sure that's what's driving this, is that how do we unload this financial liability, at least from Eduardo Alvar's position. I mean, this is a man who's basically a warden of 31 dolphin prisons, and has thousands of animals that in captivity. I don't buy his story about his daughter saying we want to release Lolita, because it's just co too convenient. It's certainly not in the doesn't reflect the actually the nature of his business. He's a horrible person. These things. I mean, when I saw Prem Singh describe him as an angel, I almost barfed. The guy is a dolphin and orca slave owner.
Yeah. Well, and let's talk about dolphins for a minute, because he does control a lot of dolphins in these different parks. You know, what is the psychological torment that dolphins go through by being in captivity? Because I think even where I am in Hawaii, there is a they call it Discovery Cove or something, where they're enslaving dolphins at a local hotel, just, you know, for the pure enjoyment of the tourists. Now, they're doing it under the guise of scientific research, and they say, oh, we have to keep these dolphins in captivity for research purposes. We couldn't learn all these special things unless they were, you know, enslaved in these tanks. But I guess, like I said, what is the psychological toll on these dolphins?
Well, cetaceans are highly intelligent, sentient, self-aware beings. They're in prison, and they're not free. And just look at what the psychological impact of that is on human beings in a similar situation. It's inhumane, it's abusive, and cetaceans should not be used as slaves to be forced to do tricks for the amusement of people for money. And that's really the bottom line here. The entire captivity industry needs to be shut down all across the board. Very cruel. And I think we have to start thinking really about the individual needs of each and every one of these prisoners. Including Lolita, but also all of the other dolphins that are imprisoned by this man.
So, and I got the name wrong. The one here near me in Hawaii is called Dolphin Quest. So what's insane about Dolphin Quest is that it's right along the beach at a hotel, and literally you could be standing next to their tank at their pool and see these dolphins that are captured and cut off from the rest of the ocean. And then if you turn around 180 degrees or 90 degrees and you look out at the ocean, you can see the spinner dolphin pod go by, frolicking, playing, interacting with each other and doing what they do. Now, here locally in Hawaii, they've passed laws that you can't swim with the dolphins in the ocean. And recently there was an article where 30 people were cited by the cops, because they used a drone video to show people swimming around spinner dolphins, and they said that they were harassing them. So it is kind of crazy that we can enslave dolphins for the benefit of a few tourists in a buffet line, and then you've got people that are out in the ocean that are, you know, swimming with them, and they're actually the ones being fined, whereas the owners of these dolphins that are running this facility are getting away scot-free and making money at the same time. It is
Yeah,
a little backwards.
it's like setting up a prison overlooking Disneyland, so all the human prisoners can get to see people having a good time. That's pretty much what it is. But it's true. I mean, here we are passing laws to protect to keep people away from dolphins in the wild, but we're allowing people to swim with the dolphins, and also at the same time passing pathogens from people to dolphins in the process. It's really insane. I mean, that the permits can be given for this particular type of exploitation is really unacceptable.
Well, so okay, so you know, hopefully Lolita has some sort of respite or something good comes out of this thing, but it does sound like she's being used once again for the personal gain of others. Is there anything, I mean, you kind of already mentioned it, where you said it would be best to take this $20 million and try to protect the orcas that are already in the wild, that are starving because lack of salmon and other issues that they face and pollution. Is there anything else that people can do? Not just, I'm thinking not just for captive orcas, but also for these captive dolphins. Anything that you would advise people to do apart from the obvious, which is don't buy a ticket to one of these dolphin or orca shows if you can avoid it.
Well, that's the most important thing, is to not participate in this exploitation. I'm trying to find out if any of these dolphins that Elbor has in captivity were also captured in Taiji, Japan, which is a horrific slaughter which takes place only for the purpose of capturing dolphins for exhibit at marine aquariums. So I'm not really sure. I don't have any evidence whether any of these dolphins came from that, but it's certainly something worth looking into. You know, I would be very happy to see Lolita return to the wild, but I really have no hope that it's going to actually happen. If it does, I'll be pleasantly surprised. But first of all, the motive behind this, I think, is suspect, and the logistics are serious obstacles. And are we simply spending all of this time, effort, and money to return an orca to a population that is dying? You know, let's protect Lolita's family. That's where the priority should be.
That's a good point. I mean, she could have pathogens and a disease that, should she come back in contact with her family, yeah, I mean, that could, I mean, there's only what, 73 left. So if you have a disease run rampant through a small population like that, that could be devastating. I think the other thing too, is that I think Lolita is past the age where she could give birth to a baby. So it's, I guess, the argument one might have is that, well, putting her back in the wild as a female reproductive orca might help the population, but I think she is past that age. I might be mistaken on that.
That's true, but also let's consider Keiko. Keiko was in the wild for 5 years, but died from a pathogen that infected him when he was in captivity. So, you know, how do we know that the pathogens have been, in fact, removed from the orcas? You know, they tested Keiko. They thought that he was a virus free, but that turned out not to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, and that is one of the hallmarks that you hear from the Department of Natural Resources, which is if you have something in captivity, not to release it back into a stream. You know, people that get pet fish and such, and they get tired or bored of it, and then they go and release a pet goldfish into a pond or something like that. I mean, you know, unfortunately, a lot of these organisms that are bred and come from captivity are riddled with diseases because of the, well, because of the industry itself and because of the processes they go with trying to produce, mass produce some of these organisms. So it's fraught with lots of pitfalls and lots of diseases that can damage the natural ecosystem in a very large way. So that's a really good point.
Hundreds of orcas have died in captivity. Hundreds and hundreds of dolphins have died in captivity. It's an incredibly cruel and vicious industry, and it needs to be shut down. And that's where the effort should be. We don't want to make heroes out of people like Eduardo Albor for, you know, working to free one orca at the same time imprisoning dozens and dozens of others. I mean, we really have to take a look at the big picture here. And this entire orca and dolphin captivity industry needs to be shut down.
Yeah, I mean, that's the bigger point, is that it needs to stop, it needs to end. These breeding programs that they are, you know, that there's the loophole in all this is that, well, they've got a population of dolphins now, and they're like, well, if we do a breeding program, we can kind of keep our hands free of what's going on in Taiji and other places. But it does need to be shut down. I mean, look, this is a difficult topic because, like you said before, we all would want to see Lolita in the wild living a free life, and she deserves that. I mean, she was snatched away from her family at the age of 4, and she was forced to perform in awful conditions for the, you know, for human enjoyment. So we all want that. But then again, to your point, the people behind this, their motivation seems a little suspect. They have a quote unquote asset that's no longer providing profits for them, so they're trying to unload an asset. I mean, if they let Lolita die in her tank without giving her 100% the best medical care she could get, then they're going to look bad, right? If this guy holds on to Lolita and she dies in that tank, he's going to have a big problem on his hands when the newspaper headlines run. And I think he knows that. So he's trying to unload it, which isn't fair to her. I mean, if
if Lolita dies while being relocated, they can say, oh, well, look what we tried our best.
Right.
And, you know, emerges heroes on this.
Yeah. But
really what we have here is an industry that is enslaving highly intelligent, self-aware, sentient beings. It's immoral. It's evil.
Yep.
And anybody involved in it needs to uninvolve themselves with it.
Yeah. And this is a little out there, but this is one of my theories is once we figure out, you know, because whales are talking to each other, right? Highly intelligent creatures. They're communicating with each other. We're not so smart ourselves. If we can ever bridge that gap and understand sperm whales and understand orca whales and understand, we are going to look like fools. We are going to look like complete idiots as a species when we're able to understand what they're saying, right? Because they're talking about us. You know, I mean, when we captured Lolita.
If you look at the history of, yeah, but if you look at the history of humanity, of course we're an idiot species. Look at our wars. look at our cruelty. Look at the way we destroy the planet that we live in. You know, as a species, we're ecologically insane.
Yes.
So we don't need the whales and dolphins to tell us that. All we have to look inward and see it for ourselves.
Yeah, but there's so many without understanding what whales are saying to one another or to us. You know, there's the stillborn orca baby that the mother pushed around for I can't remember how many days she did, but you know, she mourned the loss of her child. And you know, when we see that, we know, wow, this is an incredibly empathetic, incredibly intelligent species. But I would surmise that when Lolita was taken from her family at the age of 4, they were communicating with each other about it. They were mournful about it. And because because we can't interpret their clicks and their language, you know, we can just gloss over it like they're just, you know, it doesn't matter, but it does matter. And I don't know if it'll happen in our lifetime, but I do think that sometime in the future, we'll be able to make that communication connection and then we'll know, you know, what morons we really were, I guess is the only
way. Well, I think we can do it. I mean, a combination of, you know, computer technology, yeah. AI, that kind of thing that we probably will be able to, yeah. to figure out how to do it. And I really don't want to know what they're going to think about us if we were to overcome that hurdle. Because we haven't been very nice.
No, well,
and
well, and think about the sperm whale that you know saved your life, you know, and if you could, you know, if we could work it back the other way, and instead of us trying to understand them, if we could figure out a way to communicate within their language to them, and you could thank that bull sperm whale for what he did for you that way, and also explain to him that, you know, you're trying your best to fight against the harpooner that was on that ship.
I guess up to his kind, actually. For him, he died, but right. So that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's true.
But the future of whales and dolphins is very bleak because the survival of our ocean is in question.
Yeah.
We've seen a 40% diminishment of phytoplankton in the sea since 1950, and that provides up to 70% of the air, oxygen in the air we breathe, and sequesters incredible amounts of carbon dioxide. And so we're right now destroying the ocean and the very foundation of not just survival for whales and dolphins, but also for survival for ourselves. And, you know, what's more important to the average human being? Being concerned about phytoplankton diminishment or watching the next football game?
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. And what's going to happen is at some point when that guy watching his football game, the front porch or the back deck of his coastline Florida home submerges into the sea and he realizes, oh yeah, this whole global warming thing is a thing and I don't have a house anymore. That's when he'll care about it. That's when.
Except a good part of the population would probably say God works in mysterious ways, and that's his punishment for drag queens
Right.
and gay people. You know,
Right, right,
that's the
right.
kind of mentality a lot of people have.
Well, and but look, as a species that, I try to be optimistic about us evolving and bringing it back to your Orcapedia book, right? We've enslaved these orcas for our own benefit. And these orcas are individuals. These orcas have personalities. These orcas have complex family structures, which is well studied by folks all over the world. And, as I'm hopeful that as we continue to get the word out there, and as I mentioned, is maybe science can help bridge that communication gap. Maybe we can open more eyes to what's really going on in the ocean, and the fact, to your point, that every whale matters, every individual in the ocean matters, every gill net that takes down another shark or whale or dolphin or sea turtle, they all matter, and we need to save as many of them as we possibly can while we can.
I agree. Oh, by the way, I should point out that Tiffany Humphrey co-authored Orcapedia. It's not just my book. And I'd also like to add one thing. I have a lot more confidence in this Lolita relocation program if it was led by a compassionate person like Rick O'Berry or somebody who really cared. I would probably be much more enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, that's a good point. I was going to ask you about Rick O'Berry because he's obviously, an authority on dolphin captivity. Have you had a chance to speak with him at all about what's going on with Lolita?
I haven't recently, no, but I know that he knows a lot more about how to do this than the people who are trying to do it now.
I wonder if their hearts were in the right place, if they might reach out to him and get his expertise on the matter.
Well, I certainly would advise him to if I was in a position to advise him to
Right.
reach out to him.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, and at one point you would have been, but they're going their own direction, so we'll let them figure that out. Well, I do want to, I guess, for all of you folks out there that are orca lovers and were impacted by Free Willy and movies like that and documentaries on orcas, look, at the end of the day, we want the best for Lolita. We really do. And it's such a murky issue and a murky topic that it's hard to figure out if she is a pawn in someone else's game and somebody's pulling the wool over our eyes, so to speak, or if maybe there is a good outcome for her. I mean, I whether or not these folks that are doing this have bad intentions or good intentions, I guess hopefully there's some sort of an outcome that gives Lolita some sort of respite from the prison that she's been living in for so long. So, what, 50 plus years or so, because she was captured in 1970, so we're in 2023. So, she's been living in her own little personal hell for a long time now. And if anything positive could come out of it for her, then so be it. I mean, if those guys' intentions are bad, I'm fully confident that that'll prove out in time. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'd like to, I'd like for something good to come out of it for her. But, Paul, I understand that, some of the players involved, and it seems like their intentions aren't so good.
Well, I'm also concerned that the experience would be incredibly traumatizing, and I think that it would be better to try and give her the best comfort as possible right now, which is a much, much bigger place to swim around in.
Yeah.
Even if they set up a sea pen in Florida, for instance, plenty of ocean there. Of
Yeah.
course, it's not where she comes from, but still, she'd be able to swim around. And be happier, a little happier than what she is right now. Of course, not fully happy because I don't think she'll ever be freed,
Right.
but we can do the best we can for with what with this with the situation, understanding the situation as it is. But all I do know is that for the next 2 years, it's an absolute certainty she's going to be in that tiny little pool, and that's very sad indeed.
Yeah, it is. Well, Paul, I really appreciate you joining me today to talk about this topic. I think, you know, a lot of people heard the news and are wondering if it's true. And some people are excited and some people are cautiously optimistic. And some people don't believe that it's really going to happen. So I guess, like I said before, the best we can hope for is that something good comes of it for Lolita. And, you know, whatever those guys are up to, what's that? One of the guys is the owner of the cults. I don't know. There just seems to be a lot of different, just different people at
play.
Well,
I can't. Yeah, I know nothing about him, yeah. But I do know a lot about Eduardo Alvor.
Yeah.
And he is a warden of 21 prisons. And that's the bottom line. He's not a good guy.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's pretty obvious what he's trying to do here. You know, it doesn't take Sherlock Holmes to figure out why now he would want to move Lolita. And, you know, some of these other guys that are involved, I think, could use some good PR, to put it lightly. So it seems like that might be a reason for this. But, you know, we'll find out. So Paul,
keep in mind he bought the Miami Sea Aquarium in 2021, and he had a performing orca as part of that property. 1 year later, the government said no more performances. You know, that's over. And that's suddenly his prize star performer became an economic liability.
Yeah. Well, then that's a great point. And then that makes all the sense in the world as to why he would want to move on from Lolita. And at the same time, it's like he's trying to write off this asset that isn't working for him anymore, but he's trying to get good publicity. And maybe these other guys that are fronting the money, I mean, no, they know what's going on. They wouldn't be fronting the money if they didn't understand exactly what they're going to get out of this. That's the cynical part of me. So, but we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. And if there's more news about it, Paul, maybe you and I can talk about it.
The other thing that concerned me is that, you know, you got a billionaire here and another millionaire, and they could easily fork over $20 million to cover this entire project. So why are they asking for donations?
Yeah. Yeah. Why? Why would they need donations? That's a great question. If they're so committed to the project, and if they're so committed, and to your point, Paul, why not make a sea pen in Florida and get her out of the tank and let her live in a sea pen in Florida? Maybe some transient orcas might swim by. She'll get to say hi. I don't know. It seems like a lot quicker way to get her out of a bad situation if that's their true intention. So, yeah. No, that's a good point. So look, I guess I'll leave it at that. Thank you, Paul, for joining me today. And like I said, if this news story progresses, maybe we'll touch base on it and see how things unfold.
Great. Well, thanks, Charlie.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Talk to you later. This episode is brought to you by Orcinus Orca.
If the oceans die, we die.